worship Christ with you today. Today is Good Friday, and we are going to remember and celebrate the cross and what Jesus Christ has done at the cross for us. And so thank you for being with us today. I'd like to start by reading some scripture, some words from the prophet Isaiah about Jesus, several hundred years before he even came to this earth. Here are the words of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 7. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
Good Friday. How can one describe such a day? The wrongdoing of all humanity putting to an end an innocent man, the Son of God. This is the story of Jesus' death by way of a cross, all in one moment bringing death to the bright light of our future. He never stopped loving us, and yet this is the incredible part of it. Our sin stopped his heart. Our sin drove the nails firmly in the hands of God. All along, these were the plans. We told ourselves that we were in control, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. The brutal beating, the inhuman flogging, the naked humiliation. Heaven watched and saw it all. Our rebellion, our guilt, our shame, erasing the very notion of reconciling us with God, our sin and our debt, overcoming Jesus. Here is our King, obliterated. The enemy laughing, his plans unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of freedom rising. Now God's people are utterly broken. Behold the chains of mortality. Yes, this is what is true. We had heard the stories of old. The lost are found, the blind can see, the weak are made strong. But now we are witnesses to this reality. God is dead. We'd almost believed there is a way of redemption. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a peace beyond understanding. Now we know better. For us, we can say that God is encapsulated in this one realization. The single greatest sacrifice in human history is finished. How clearly we can see it. So what's so good about Good Friday? Just one thing, that the blood of Jesus can reverse the curse of sin and raise the dead to life. How clearly we can see it is finished. The single greatest sacrifice in human history encapsulated in this one realization. We can say that God is for us. Now we know better. There is a peace beyond understanding. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a way of redemption. We had almost believed God is dead, but now we are witnesses to this reality. The weak are made strong. The blind can see. The lost are found. We had heard the stories of old. Yes, this is what is true. The chains of mortality utterly broken. Behold, freedom rising. Now God's people are unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of the enemy laughing. His plans obliterated. Here is our King, Jesus, overcoming our sin and our debt, reconciling us with God, erasing the very notion of our rebellion, our guilt, our shame. Heaven watched and saw it all, the naked humiliation, the inhuman flogging, the brutal beating, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. We told ourselves that we were in control. All along, these were the plans firmly in the hands of God. Our sin drove the nails, our sin stopped his heart, and yet this is the incredible part of it. He never stopped loving us. The bright light of our future, all in one moment, bringing death to death by way of a cross. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man putting to an end the wrongdoing of all humanity. How can one describe such a day? Good Friday.
Would you stand with me as we sing together?
See him in Jerusalem, walking where the crowds are. Once these streets had sung to him, now they cry for murder. Such a frail and lonely man, holding up a heavy cross. See him walking in Jerusalem on the road to contain him.
listen to the words from Mark 15, verses 21 through 39. You may be seated as I read. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And then the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last. And he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Pray with me. Father, your word is true, and you are full of love for us. Would you turn our hearts now to receive from your word as Pastor George comes? Lord, we want to remember, we want to celebrate, and we want to find our hope in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us here on Good Friday. Some of you might be taking your lunch break now or a few minutes off of work. Maybe you have the day off. And I'm glad you're here with us. Like Tanya said, I'm George. I'm one of the pastors here at FBC, and I want to take a few minutes and briefly share some thoughts from Scripture with you today. Imagine if someone offended you, someone slighted you. Has it ever happened to you before? Yeah, it has. You know that feeling when you're offended? What's your natural reaction to that? Maybe it's words like this: "I can't believe they did that. Who do they think they are? That's so disrespectful what they did to me. They owe me an apology." You know, maybe some of you have a little sarcasm that runs through your veins. You can admit it, I have a little too. But maybe your words and thoughts run along this kind of track when you're offended. "Oh, thanks for sharing how you feel. Now let me share how I feel." But what if something greatly offends you? What are your thoughts and words then? Maybe it's, "I'll show them." Or maybe it's, "I'm done with them. I never want to see them again." You know, our culture now and in the past has usually told us that if we're slighted, if we're offended, if you've been disrespected, the offender needs to initiate an apology. The one who has done wrong, they need to make things right and good again. You know, one of the glorious things about Good Friday is that God's love reverses that idea. Jesus, the Messiah, initiates the conversation with offenders. Jesus pursues them and then offers all offenders something beautiful: reconciliation. And this offer, this invitation, this gift is something every one of us in this room desperately needs, because we're all offenders. Our passage in Romans captures this life-transforming idea. Perhaps the verses I'm about to read will be brand new to you. Maybe it'll be the first time you've heard them. For others, you might have read these before. They're familiar to you. And if they are, I pray that you would read these verses with fresh eyes. FBC, be open and soft to the familiar themes of Scripture, because these words are for you. Listen to Romans chapter number 5, starting in verse 6. It says this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, that in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." This passage is one that makes Good Friday so very good, because it's Christ dying for the ungodly. You know, today we read the story of the crucifixion from the book of Mark, and in the previous chapters of Mark, you would read about the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. You would see all the lies. You would see all the deceit that occurred from witnesses while Jesus was being tried. You'll read that Jesus was unjustly sentenced to death. There are offenses towards Jesus everywhere. And perhaps you shuddered as you read those verses when you thought about Jesus enduring the torture of being whipped and mocked. And while he wore a crown of thorns, soldiers beat him, spit on him, and then he was crucified. And while Jesus was being crucified, the Gospels record some of what Jesus said. And what he said is really important and worth knowing and understanding. In fact, Jesus' words show us beautiful things, miraculous things about our faith in God. It's something that we should consider today on Good Friday. Look at what's recorded in Luke's gospel as the crowd and the soldiers lead Jesus away to die. Luke 23 says this: "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments." Do you see what Jesus is asking for in these verses? Jesus is initiating a conversation about the offenders, the very ones that were putting him on the cross. These are the ones hurting him and mocking him and killing him. And what are the words he's telling us? Forgiveness was possible even for the ones that were putting him on the cross that day. It makes us wonder, could God reconcile with me too? Could my sins be forgiven as well because our sins put Jesus on the cross too? You know, our sins deserve a righteous God's wrath. When we think back to that passage in Romans, look at the position our sins place us in relation to God. Verse 6 said, "We were weak, powerless to rescue ourselves." As the verse goes on, it says, we were ungodly, choosing to live without God. Verse 8 said, "We were sinners, worthy offenders. We're the ones who broken Creator God's laws." And in verse 10, says we were enemies. We've lived in direct opposition to God. That passage makes it clear we have a problem. In fact, it's our biggest problem. And we all have problems in life, but the wrath of God towards our sin is our biggest problem in life. Why is it the biggest problem? Because we can't rescue ourselves from it. There's no safety when we live in sin. We can't get around all the many times that we have disrespected God's law. Our good works, they can't overcome them either. We fall short. So what have we done? Well, we become professionals at trying to cover up the problem, trying to mask it. We often work hard on minimizing our own guilt. We will shift the blame. We're good at pointing the finger at other people's faults. And our culture excels in highlighting things that other people do wrong. One glance at social media or on the news or grabbing a magazine, it almost tells you that we love a scandal or somebody's falling out, somebody's sin. It allows us to quickly think, you know what, at least I didn't do that. But we're all guilty. Our sin separates us from God. Our sins require justice from an all-righteous God. And we're powerless to change the verdict. We need an answer for our guilt. And so Jesus becomes the answer. Look at the latter part of Isaiah 53, verse 12. I'll put it on the screen. He, Jesus, poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Do you see that phrase? He was numbered with the transgressors. Who's really the transgressors in this passage? I am. You are. So you know what this phrase means? Perfect Jesus was counted as full of your sin. He's now included in the group of transgressors. Righteous Jesus absorbed God's righteous wrath and died for the ungodly. Think on this. That Jesus took all of our lies and our anger, every lustful thought, your stealing, every time you were dishonest, your bitterness, every slanderous word, all the gossip, your pride and envy, your jealousness and your greed, your laziness and immorality, your hatred, your selfishness. He took all that sin debt with him on the cross. He absorbed that on our behalf. Jesus took all of God's wrath for you. Jesus initiates reconciliation. He gives us hope. So we can answer the question, could my sins be forgiven too? We could answer that with a resounding yes. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cost of that forgiveness, though, it was enormous. As Jesus took our sin on himself, he experienced something dreadful on the cross. We read it together earlier, but notice Mark 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What's happening? God the Son was separated from God the Father. As you read these words, perhaps you sense the horror of Jesus carrying our judgment on himself. FBC, sin cuts us off from God, a holy God that has to stay separate from sin. And since Jesus has now been numbered with the transgressors, Jesus is dying the death of a sinner. He's experiencing God abandoning him and forsaking him. That question, why have you forsaken me? You know, as I was studying for this message, those words hit me strongly because I was realizing that this is what I should be experiencing. That's my sin that Jesus is holding. I'm the one that's supposed to be abandoned by God for my sin. That's the pain that I deserve. I don't deserve to know God. I deserve to be judged by him. And as you read that verse, you can think, that's what I should be saying. God's forsaken me. But instead we see Jesus there, taking the ransom of our sin with his life. And it wasn't but just a few moments later that perhaps we read the final words of Jesus. And this time John records what happens. It says in John 19, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus said, "It is finished." What was finished? Well, was Jesus completing the work? The transfer of our sins onto him, it was done. So Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, finished the sacrifice. There's nothing else that needed to be done. And we might think the words, "it is finished," it means that maybe Jesus' life is about to end. But I believe that it's more than that. In the last moments before Jesus dies, he doesn't say words of failure. Rather, he says words of victory. "It is finished." Jesus' death offers us something beautiful. He offers us salvation. We can't help with this. We can't assist with this. We can only respond to God's invitation of love. And that's what makes Good Friday so good. Jesus gave us everything, everything that we need. And in case that we might forget this, Jesus reminds us over and over again in Scripture of what he did for us. Look at these verses. Jesus wants us to be reconciled to him. Romans 4, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." Philippians 3, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." 2 Corinthians 5, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What do the offenders look like now when they place their faith and trust in Jesus and commit to him? Reconciliation happens, and it looks amazing when you're with Jesus. Look at what happens when you reconcile with God. Now you can stand faultless before God. You know, since the beginning, sin has caused us to flee from his presence. Adam and Eve, the very first sin, they split, they ran, they tried to hide from God. Now all those who repent of their sin and believe that Jesus is the Savior can stand before God pure, draped in all the righteousness that Jesus offers, sins forgiven. When reconciliation happens, you are now a son or a daughter of God. For all those who repent and believe, you belong to the family of God. That's your privilege. Now that Jesus has absorbed all of God's wrath for your sins, we find a heavenly Father graciously holding us as adopted sons and daughters in his family. You belong. You're not an outsider. You're not somebody on the fringe. You know, when it's dinner time in my house, I don't tell my boys to go take their meal outside. They're welcome to the table because they're family. For every child of God, you're welcomed into God's family. You're a member. When reconciliation happens, you're embraced and held by God. This is the exact opposite of rejection, of abandonment. God's wrath has been satisfied because of Jesus. And now God looks at each one of his children, not with wrath, but with full acceptance, full forgiveness. Originally, you were God's enemy, and now you're completely right with God because of Jesus. it might even be difficult for us to grasp this transformation. God now holds you fast, and he'll never let you go. FBC, this makes Good Friday very, very good. You know, we're about to take communion together and reflect and remember Jesus' work on the cross on our behalf. And so let me invite you to think about the reconciliation that God offers through Jesus' death on the cross for us. Let's pray. Dear God, we were born into sin. Dirty, unclean, without hope of reaching God. And then Jesus made a way. He initiated the reconciliation. He displayed his love for us by taking all our sin on him. God, we're not guaranteed this reconciliation just by being here today or thinking we've done enough to please you. Rather, we must come to God repenting of our sins and believing in the Son Jesus. So God, I pray that you would increase your kingdom today. Draw more souls to you. And God, as we take communion as a church body, let those who've experienced this reconciliation rejoice today. Offenders have now become family. Sin is now found faultless. Embraced sons and daughters of God. That's a Good Friday. God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the Savior, Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross. And we ask it in his name. Amen. As we remember Jesus and what he did on the cross, what better time to take the Lord's Supper than today? Scripture calls us to remember the rescue of sinners and to dwell on the love of God that he has for his children. And so if you're identifying with Jesus, saying, I belong to him, he's with me, I'm part of God's family, we invite you to participate in the Lord's Supper now. What does that mean? How do I know if I belong to Jesus? Well, if you're saying, you know what, I'm leaving my sins behind by God's grace, and I'm trusting in Jesus for my salvation alone, then we welcome you in remembering Jesus with us together. You know, and if following Jesus isn't something that you would say would describe you, then simply let the bread and the juice plates pass on by when they come to you. And I would suggest that you recall the good things that we've sung about, we've talked about this morning. We take communion together. It's our meal. So as you take the cracker and juice, there'll be cups stacked on top of each other. Just hold those and wait till I give instructions for us to eat together. So servers, come. work now? It works now. Let me read you a few verses. You can hear me now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We get some instructions on how we can take this communion and what we can recall. Verse 23 says this, "For I received from the Lord that what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' So as we remember Christ's death, please take and eat." The chapter continues, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' So as you remember Christ's sacrifice, please take and drink." Verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so what we did as a church family, we proclaimed, we remembered Christ's death together. You know, this act of worship causes us to want to give honor. We desire to want to give praise to our great God for what he's done on our behalf. And so let's stand together and sing.
And frail humanity in our longing.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me.
FBC, aren't you glad that the story doesn't end on Friday? But on Sunday, we'll celebrate the resurrected Jesus and that he is alive. We'd love for you to join us on Easter Sunday. Our services will be at 8 o'clock and 10:30. And until then, would the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Have a wonderful weekend.